Well, thank you for an interesting and sobering presentation, Xavier. We now move on to Alan Melrose, who's back again. He's wearing his Eurocontrol hat this time, and he's going to give us, I think, a presentation on a Eurocontrol study.
Yeah. I take it I just click on the other one. Okay, well, I just...
plenty of time this time.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd just like to say that you're going to hear a very similar story from me that you've just heard from Xavier. And the reason for that is because there is hardly any research on this topic that is specific to aviation, which I find absolutely remarkable, given that we are probably the most weather and climate sensitive industry on the planet. And I've got to echo something else that Xavier said, which is this is nothing to do with aviation emissions. Nothing to do with that. If we stop emitting tomorrow, if we close all of aviation tomorrow, there will still be climate change because of all of the other man-made emissions. We account for a very, very small part. So if we wish to continue to operate, we've got to take account of the fact that the climate will bite. We're not sure when or how severely, and the reason for that is probably the lack of research. And I just want to make that clear because I've been presenting on this for just about 6 months now, and I usually get into an argument with stakeholders where they start saying, oh, you're trying to make out that aviation's going to kill the planet. And we're not. It's nothing to do with aviation emissions. It's not even an environmental issue. It's an operational issue. The people who should be listening to this are the operational people. Okay. So this just repeats what I've said, that we are a very climate-sensitive industry and all ATM KPIs can be affected as the climate changes. And by the way, many scientists are saying that we will now suffer a certain amount of climate change in the not-too-distant future, certainly, as Xavier says, within the lifespan of an airport, even if all of mankind stops emitting tomorrow. So this is the aim. It's only a scoping study. It's a very small and cheap study, and it will be available in about 1 to 2 months' time on the Eurocontrol website. And its aim was to try and just scope out what are the likely impacts, when might they arise, how certain are we, what kind of effects they might have on ATM. And I can tell you now that the power industry have been doing this research for decades now, and the insurance industry, and the banking industry, and the agriculture people. And when you go in the future, in maybe 5 or 10 years' time, to ask for money to develop an airport or anything else, one of the first questions the investor might ask is, and how susceptible are you to this climate change that's starting to happen? So it's really, really important. CESAR has a work package that is going to do detailed research on this on a European context. And the case studies that we've undertaken in Eurocontrol will actually feed into that. So we have actually started to lift up this horrible rock with God knows what kind of snakes that live under there. But if we don't lift them up, it's going to be a bigger risk for us. Now, this isn't Eurocontrol's annual paper output being burnt, which was suggested to me over coffee, but perturbations hurt the industry. We've got a current example that's going on at the moment. And if we don't plan for these, they will hurt more. And they're not new. I'd like to show you an example from the year 2000. This is the average delay in Europe in, I think it was 2000. The study was certainly done in 2000. In one of the months. And what happened was, because an airport exceeded its noise quota, a couple of runways were closed. An average delay, that's average delay, in the whole of ECAC went up to 50 minutes from 3 minutes as a result of that. And after about 10 days, the government backed down, the noise restriction was lifted, and everything went back to normal. But the point here is that it doesn't take every airport to be affected for this to become important, or any other single aspect or single location in aviation. We're so close to the capacity with our throughput that slight perturbations in one area have a complete knock-on that ripples around the planet, and we've seen that with a volcano recently. So I've got to explain what our report doesn't do. We don't try to prove whether climate change is real or not. All we need to have is a significant belief that there is significant risk that this is the case. And then we have to do research. We can't just leave it to chance. I'm not trying to prove whether climate change is man-made or not. It doesn't matter what the cause of climate change is. It's got nothing to do with emissions. It's about climate change. And I'm not, as I've said before, I'm not trying to say that if aviation stops emission tomorrow, this will disappear. I'm not trying to increase the certainty on climate science. That isn't our role. What we are not doing either is proposing specific actions on industry, and we're not trying to suggest that the emergence of this challenge means that all of the investment on mitigation measures should stop. We're not trying to propose that either. So this is an interesting graph. That in 2003 there was an interesting summer in Europe. 80,000 people are expected to have a shortened life because of it in France alone. And what we are seeing, this is a median prediction, is that by 2040 that will be an average summer, and by 2050 that will be a cold summer. So why are we building, and this is a really politically sensitive issue, and I'm having a great deal of difficulty in kind of getting it out there because people don't want to lift that rock up. But I'm not sure that we are building the capacity in the runways and the other bits and pieces in the correct place, because maybe everybody will be going to the Baltic for the summer in Europe instead of going to the Mediterranean. I don't know. Maybe winter sports change their location completely. We've talked about sea level rise, but I just want to emphasise one point. It's no good putting a little ring of flood defences around the airport, because it's all of the ground infrastructure that bring the people to the airport which make your business. And all of that will need to be protected. And some of these floodplains go on for hundreds of miles. And so you'll have people rowing out to your airport in little boats in order to be able to fly. I'd like to point out a couple of things here. For example, this issue about potential reduction in turbine performance, that could have implications for noise. So without us doing anything, the climate might actually make our noise contours bigger. The point I'm raised there is that the things aren't always intuitive. In Norway, the temperature rises and so does the amount of de-icing, because they may lose the use of white runways. So they then have to get rid of the snow. So it's not intuitive. The only good thing we can find, by the way, is that there might be a reduction in low vis events. So, that's low visibility. There might be a reduction in fog in Europe because of climate change, but I mean, it's not really a big issue already. And we're developing the everybody's investing a lot of money to be able to land in fog. Well, maybe it's not even going to be an issue and all that money's wasted at. I don't know. So this isn't airport. By the way, you might think, well, an obvious candidate for risk would be the Netherlands, but the truth is they've invested so well in flood defences that they're probably one of the best protected countries. So again, it's not intuitive. Their runways might be 10 metres below sea level, but they can sit there thinking, well, we've done our investment, we are sound. And they've had to protect their whole of the country in order to be able to do that. We didn't like to bring this out without a peer review, so we had a peer review. The people didn't like the message. We had state regulators, ANSPs, airlines, airports, all in a room talking about it. And they said, yes, this is a potential risk, and more research is needed, but it shouldn't displace fundings for more urgent needs. We're doing three case studies, which will be produced at the same time as the study. We're looking at demand pattern change in Greece, and one of the main drivers for that, by the way, could be the lack of potable water, that they can't supply the drinking water to the airport. Airport flooding and convective activity. Our Maastricht Centre are telling us now they can see a change in convective activity, although they don't have any research to back it up, and we are hoping that we're going to back that up with our research. So in conclusion, and by the way, you can look at this, you won't be able to read it from where you are, but this gives a range of effects which will be rather sobering, I think the word was used earlier on, of different types. Anyway, So science is uncertain, but the consensus is growing. Some effects might be with us now. Sufficient consent to identify this as a sleeping tiger risk. I don't know if you're conversant with this term. What it means is it has a massive impact, but uncertain on probability and timing. It's like a sleeping tiger. We don't think it should be prioritised more than other urgent activities such as emissions reduction, and it is now becoming on the agenda. But there is very little research available, and I think that more is needed. So my personal prediction is, and it comes to something Xavier referred to, that within 5 years, climate adaptation will be of the same importance as emission reduction. And the reason why I chose 5 years is I hope to retire in 4.5 years. So nobody's going to be able to come and say, oh, you got it wrong. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to change everything we do. For all we know, NextGen, CESAR and the ICAO Global Navigation Plan could be exactly in line with increasing flexibility and adaptability and everything. We might not need to change anything. Maybe that's everything that we need to do. But I would suggest that at present we just don't know, and maybe we should find out. Thank you very much.